I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Narrators!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. Week one in the books. The Chargers go into our house, SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, California. Sack Derek Carr six times. Justin Herbert throws three touchdowns. And they walk away the winners, 24 Chargers, Raiders 19 in game one of the season. The game did not feel as close as the final score showed, especially with how bad the Raiders played early. A lot of our worst fears about this team are true. A couple bright spots, a couple things to acknowledge, some adjustments. The defense kind of gained a little momentum as the game went on. There were a couple all-star performances by a few individuals, specifically on our defense and Davante Adams. But other than that, an all-around pretty atrocious performance by the Raiders on week one.
Yeah, I mean, really the only thing you can bring out of this is, yeah, Davante Adams is that dude.
Worth every dime.
Worth every freaking penny.
Every dime and more so.
It's not just about the play, but it's about the stats too. He looks like a guy that's elite around a lot of elite athletes. He looks like the elite of the elite. And then you look at the box score and you're like, yeah, it checks out. It makes sense.
There was a couple plays where, like, the way I always bitch, maybe it's because I'm in TV production, I always bitch about how CBS shoots these games, because it'll just be like Carr in the box and then they'll move to the receiver catching the ball. And then the replay will just be like a super zoomed in slow-mo of the catch, and you don't know how they get open. And then later they'll show it. Like, I'm like, oh, wow, how did they leave Davante Adams wide open these like three, four times? And then they'll go back and show the route, and he just like murks some safety. He just like jukes the shit out of him. He didn't get wide open because of busted coverage. He got wide open because the route was that good. No, and the fucking trousers of that cornerback are 30 yards away.
Yeah, that's what I've been talking about. He knows how to get open in tight spaces. Guys can cover him seven eighths of the route. And he'll just juke him at the very end, a little head nod, a little hip throw here and there, and he gets right open. It's definitely a bright spot. I would call it really the only bright spot. You know, there's other things that happened that were good. You know, Hobbs came up with a couple of good plays. Max looked active, even though he didn't really put any stats up. Against Herbert, again, look, here's the problem that I have, and you talked about it. He was all over the field.
Max Crosby had 10 tackles.
Yeah.
He didn't do it. He didn't eat a lot.
He didn't tackle the quarterback. And that doesn't
count the play disruptions that he's so famous for.
So here's the problem with that. When you have three of the best throwers on the move in your division, you have to put them on the ground. You can't just pressure them. They're going to complete passes with pressure. You have to put them on the ground.
Well, yeah, that would be awesome in the best case scenario. But 10 tackles on a defense that just got murked by a top three quarterback.
It's not good enough.
Let's not put it on Max. There's a lot of
I'm not saying that he played poorly. I'm saying, when you play a player like Justin Herbert, pressuring him is not enough. You got to put him on the ground.
Derek Carr, real bad day. 22 of 37, 295 yards. You're like, okay, that's not bad. Three interceptions, sacked six times. The O-line, we'll get to the O-line specifically. They're as bad, if not worse, than we feared. And Carr did not know how to handle it. When there were times when the protection was good, Carr was good. Like when the protection was there, he was good. It's the NFL. You can't count on perfect protection every time. And when it wasn't, Carr was shaken. There was multiple underthrown balls thrown by Carr where it was a combination of it stemmed from a little bit of pressure. There's bad pressures, but there's multiple times where there'd be a little bit of pressure and he couldn't quite like step into his throw, but he was still committed to like a 25-yard bomb when he was in no position to throw it. So it was a bad decision, underthrow. The pressure kind of stemmed it, and then the bad decisions led to the multiple interception game that he had.
Yeah, it's worrisome now. You would think that somebody who's as mobile as Derek Carr, you know, because you see, can you see the sarcasm dripping off my face right now?
Well, he showed pocket mobility last season, and that disappeared.
It was gone, absolutely gone. I watched the entire game on my phone. I was at a memorial for my godfather, and it started at noon. So at 1:25.
So you attended two funerals today.
Yeah, right. So when I was watching him play, I'm like, why is he staying in the pocket when there is obviously no pocket to stay in? There's an avenue for him to drift out, and you have to be able to make off-schedule throws. And that's one of the things that I kind of bang on Carr about, is his off-schedule plays are really not there for him to jump into that elite level of quarterback play. And it showed today when he just looked rattled. And I just kept those words from Joey Bosa were echoing in my head. You hit him, you pressure him, he gets rattled. And I'm like, fuck, because what am I going to say now? What am I going to say to those bitch-ass Charger fans that I know? What am I going to say? Exactly what he said happened. And it, like you said, it all stems from the shoddy offensive line play. But when the rules are set up for you to win passing the ball in this league, your quarterback can't have a game like this and you'd be successful. Just the fact that we were able to be this close is a goddamn miracle.
So I have a couple of theories on Carr. The good news is I think there's things that can be fixed with time, hopefully. One, again, another new system. And you're going from Gruden, who one of his priorities was to get Carr to be more fluid in the pocket. That was one of his biggest priorities, and it worked. That was one of the really good things that Gruden gave Carr, was his pocket awareness got much better. And then you're going to Josh McDaniels, who last season with Mac Jones, he would literally fine Mac Jones for scrambling. He wants his quarterback to just be in the pocket and do exactly what he says. That's the Josh McDaniels system. He doesn't want you to float in the pocket. He doesn't want you to scramble. He doesn't want that. And so Carr went from three seasons of trying to do one thing, and now he's in the first game saying, all right, nope, you're just sitting in that pocket. Maybe you'll take two steps left. Maybe you'll take two steps right. But you're staying in that pocket and you're delivering the throws on my time, right? So he's transitioning to something completely opposite, right? Two, I think he needs to play some preseason games. Like, he looked way out of sync, right? Like, he looked like he hadn't played football since last January, right? Waller and him were out of sync until the second half. And I think that's them not playing preseason. Also, Waller being injured, Holden, whatever theories you want. He wasn't, whatever theories you want to attach to it, he wasn't in practice. He wasn't in preseason. He wasn't in the joint practices. That was a big part of it. So I think those are the two big combinations, and hopefully with time, Carr adjusts to McDaniels saying, just stand there and deliver, as opposed to happy feet Carr, and getting more in sync with Waller as the season goes on.
Yeah. I mean, definitely McDaniels would prefer you to be in the pocket and deliver the ball on time. Unfortunately, circumstances don't always lend to that. Mm-hmm. And what's one thing that we hear a lot about with, like, let's say, Tom Brady, is he had to slide and create a new pocket. He can't just sit in where the pocket is supposed to be and expect it to be a pocket. Like, you have to adjust to what's happening around you. Yeah. And the pocket awareness just really wasn't there. And like you said, not playing any preseason games, not getting that, not knowing what kind of trash your offensive line is going to be, really.
Well, I think he knew how trash they were, which is why he was playing
which makes him sitting in the pocket for so long even more egregious. Like, dude, you know you don't have that kind of time to hang on to the ball. Mm. Throw the fucking ball. Who cares about your completion percentage? I'm not saying he's carried about that, but, like, dude, throw the fucking ball away. It was a rough. I mean, we're getting from the whole gamut, from Carr is a bitch to it's not all on Carr, to Carr is terrible, to it's only week one. But here's one by John. Great on, man. Carr looks very, very rattled. I don't understand it. You just laid it out. He could have gotten out at least through two or three sacks. I know of straight garbage today. Yeah, you know what? I agree with that. There were a couple of sacks that
there was a running lane.
Carr gave him. He just gave him because he sat there. There was if you understand that you're your offensive line is going to have some struggles. The clock in your head has to be there. If the throw isn't there, don't wait for the second window. Take off, get the 2 or 3 yards, just like Stidham in the preseason. It's not always about the big play, but don't get the negative play, right? Instead of 2nd and 8, you're going to have a 2nd or 2nd and 18. You're going to have a 2nd and 8. It's not great, but you know what? It's a lot better than 2nd and 18.
Carr had a couple awesome moments. There's that touchdown in the second quarter. He did opposite of what he'd been doing wrong all game, avoided multiple pressures, fucking dropped a dime. It was beautiful. Had a couple other great throws. When he had time to throw, he had some really good throws, but even the slightest bit of pressure, and he just can't help but start throwing picks.
He was looking over his shoulders. He was doing this the whole time, like, oh, God.
And that all stemmed from what we all kind of thought would be a major problem at the end of last season. We all kind of thought that the Raiders and Ziegler and McDaniels would fix, and we all kind of waited for them to do it, and they never did. And so we all thought, okay, there's no effing way that Mick Ziegler can think this O-line is fine. They have to know something we don't. They don't. 3 different O-line combinations for the Raiders. It was Colton Miller, John Simpson, Andre James, Dylan Parham, Jermaine Illuminor to start. Switched to Miller, Simpson, James, Cotton, Senior, Illuminor. Then switched to Miller, Simpson, James, Parham, and Munford. They were trying in real time. They were, for mid-game adjustments, they were trying. But I can't think of a more obvious tell that whatever their plan was for O-line, it didn't involve adding guys, and it should have. This O-line is not capable of taking this team where we want to go.
No.
6 sacks.
It isn't. Given up. It isn't. And, even if we're looking at this objectively and saying, okay, yeah, 2 of those sacks were probably on Carr. It's still 4. That's still too many sacks. Mm-hmm. It's
Khalil Mack had 3.
It's the first game, and we're going up against 2 of the top 8 pass rushers in the league.
Best duo
on the same team. Best duo for sure. The best duo we're going to see the entire year. So let's see how we're going to play against a normal defensive front, we should say. It's a shame, man. I've something here. Circus Raiders said something that's pretty interesting. Tay gonna cook DC for this. The rest of this, okay, whatever. But that first piece right there. Yeah, I think Devontae should talk to Derek Carr about some of the things that happened in that game, because was he given an optimal pocket? Was he given an optimal play by his offensive line? No. But some of his play as well did not exacerbated that the plays that went wrong, whether it be happy feet, whether it be staying in the pocket for too long or late throws, stuff like that. It's just not a good representation of what we wanted. And we saw it across the league. A lot of the league, there was a lot of rough games out there. I mean, I don't think that fucking Aaron Rodgers lit the world on fire. I got a pretty shitty game that I saw against the Vikings today. There's some other bad games played. So
there's a point where halfway through the third quarter, Devontae Adams had more receiving yards than all of the Packers receivers combined.
Yeah, that was a rough game, dude.
Yeah.
I think that let me see the
so the bulk of the offensive woe stems from the line and then how it affected Carr and then Carr's play going forward. But the rest of the offense isn't left out of this as well. Hunter Renfro had 2 clutch receptions, but only 3 receptions. He was pretty much locked down the entire first half. He didn't even have a target till like halfway through the third quarter. Like we thought he was uncoverable. He was covered. Waller, I'm hoping that it took just kind of a half of football, and then Carr and Waller, when they started getting in sync in the second half of the game, that's going to stick. That's something where it's like, oh man, we're just rusty. You know what I mean? It's like sex with an old girlfriend. Like you get the first one back out and you're like, okay, I remember this. And then 2nd, 3rd, 4th time out, you're all good to go. Right. Hopefully it's like that. Same thing with Josh Jacobs, the entire, running back squad averaged 2 yards per carry in the first half. Jacobs started to come on a little bit in the second. He ended up with 10 carries for 57 yards, obviously, you know, 5.7 yards per 5.7 yard average, which is good. He started running hard later. But even this, other than Davante Adams, even the rest of the supporting squad was, it was a below average performance by all of them. Not atrocious like the O-line, but below average by the guys that are supposed, that are pro bowlers and all got paid.
Yeah. Waller ended up with a decent game, 4 catches for 80 yards. That big 30 yard catch, that showed some promise because he had to show all of his skills to get open. Mm-hmm. He cut behind the corner and in front of Derwin James, the safety. And he just looked like a man among boys. He looked so much bigger than those guys when he caught that ball, down to like the, you know, 3 or 4 yard line. Look, not optimal, not what we wanted to see, but I would rather see this now than maybe not face as good of an offensive, a defensive front and think we're going to be okay moving forward and then not do anything about our line. The sooner we do something to fix the offensive line, the better. And it was almost a blessing in disguise that we got exposed in actuality, not just theory, so early.
Moving on to the defensive side of the ball, gave up 24 points, which isn't the end of the world, right?
Great. I thought it was a great performance by the defense. 24 points after 3 turnovers, 2 of them in your territory to only give up 24 points to that team.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on your definition, right? Like, we were hoping this Patrick Graham defense would be aggressive, sacks, turnovers, great schematically, like, you know, an in-your-face defense, not the Gus Bradley, like, all right, we're just going to let you do kind of what you want. We're just not going to give up the big play, right? It kind of looked like a Gus Bradley defense. No turnovers, no sacks. Justin Herbert had over 200 yards passing in the first half, less than 80 in the second. So they were able to make adjustments. Credit to Patrick Graham for being able to. The very first drive of the third quarter, Chargers gashed us. And I was ready to rip into Patrick Graham. Like, where's the schematic genius? Where's your halftime adjustments? You're getting destroyed. Then after that, the defense was able to come with some big stops. But it wasn't the defense we thought we'd get. I think it performed better and, you know, certainly got better as the game went on. But it's not the defense we thought we were getting.
Yeah, I mean, I think the aggressive play was there. I just don't think that it resulted in the turnovers. I think that the different looks did confuse Herbert at times. That's why we were able to get him off the field on some third downs. I think the front played a lot better than we had thought. A lot of short yardage stops, couple on third down, one on fourth down. You know, it's one of those things where just because we didn't get the turnovers doesn't mean that we weren't being aggressive. I think we were changing looks up and confusing Herbert at times. So, I mean, where the hell was Chandler Jones?
I think the play calling got conservative for the Chargers and we took advantage. Like, they weren't going deep. Keenan Allen got hurt. And so that obviously, you know, you lose your best wide receiver, you know, top 10, top 5, at least top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. It's going to affect how you play. I think that was a big part of it. But yeah, like, some good stops. That 4th and 1 was a big stop. They gave the offense a couple chances late. Just different, you know, no sacks, no turnovers. I'm sick of that, man. That was last season. I thought we'd get some more of those, but a few good individual performances. Like Jonathan Abram, 12 tackles, 9 solo. Max Crosby, 10 tackles. He was all over the place. 2 quarterback hits. I haven't seen the pressure rate yet. I'm sure it's going to be big once again. Nate Hobbs with some huge stops, some great tackles. Rocky Assene played quietly awesome. I mean, I think he gave up maybe 1 or 2 catches in that entire game going against Justin Herbert. Played absolutely fantastic. And that's kind of it. Chandler Jones, pretty quiet. He made 1 good, like, at the line of scrimmage tackle. Didn't do much after that. Denzel Perryman, only 3 tackles for your Pro Bowler.
Yeah, man.
That's kind of it. Yeah. That's kind of it. 4 guys played well on defense. The rest, it was kind of eh.
It was tough, man, because you're looking at, you know, a lot of not a lot of tackles in that in between range. So running backs ran the ball and got to like the second, third level, you know, passes. So even the shorter passes went off into the third level. So you're not going to have, you know, Denzel Perryman making a lot of those tackles. You know, Perryman did get dinged up a little bit. I mean, I admit it. Khalil Mack is Khalil Mack. He played a lot better than he had the last 2 years in Chicago. Maybe it's because he has Bosa on the other side.
And Jermaine Illuminor will make you look pretty good.
Dude, Jermaine Illuminor, Rory, you can suck a fat one, Rory. You and your freaking limey ass freaking homeboy, Illuminor.
Rookie Mumford Jr. will make you look like the old Khalil Mack.
Illuminor had his made his best Leatherwood impression by getting a fucking a 2-point conversion on the 1 yard line after a freaking pass interference false start penalty. You dumb shit. It's the little things like that, man. It's the little things like, look, there's that. There's, you know, Carr makes a more on-target pass, and we get 7 instead of 3. You know, we're at a tie game, man. It's those little things that do matter. And when you're playing an offense like the Chargers, you can't go in and get field goals in the red zone. So, I don't know, man. A lot of things to work on. A lot of things to process here. Overall, I think we're going to be okay. I don't know that we have to fix this before we meet the Chargers again, because there's no way we're going to be able to be even close to them if we can't shore up our offensive line.
A couple other random notes. Only 3 penalties for 11 yards for the Raiders. I mean, I know that was one of the big things that Josh McDaniels wanted to fix. He certainly, it looks like that was a big part of it. I think it was like the least amount of preseason penalties in Raiders history, which again, preseason, but I think that's one of the more indicative things of like the culture of your team and the discipline of your team. That's something that you can kind of look at a team element. Turnovers were down, or not turnovers, penalties were down, which was great. Special teams was good. Carlson cranking out 50 yarders again, no problem. He did kick a kickoff out of bounds.
What the hell was that?
Like Carlson's going to give you one or two head scratchers every season. Like he'll shank like a 22 yarder and then make 8 50 yarders in a row. So like that was one of his weird head scratchers. Cole crank, you know, still averaging 50 something per punt. Still good. What did you make of Josh McDaniels play calling?
I thought that it was bogged down a little bit in the second quarter. I thought that we opened up with some nice play calls. It's kind of difficult after only one game with our actual, players out there. Because you don't know. It could be the play call and the scheme, how it was set up. It could be the receivers not getting open. It could be, honestly, Carr locking in on Davante Adams because he can get open. We don't know exactly yet. Once we get to see them a little bit more, I felt that they stalled a little bit in the second quarter. They weren't as good. After the half, I thought they were running the ball a little bit better. But honestly, that whole double reverse thing was a fucking joke. How are you going to run a play like that when you never have a pocket? Like,
please tell me that the play wasn't designed to have Darren Waller and Derek Carr block Joey Bosa. Please tell me that wasn't part of the plan. Like that can't. Please tell me that wasn't written up on a whiteboard in Las Vegas somewhere. Please.
That's the annexation of Puerto Rico. Like, where are you getting these freaking? What movie is that from? When are
Little
you?
Little Giants.
Hey, man.
Oh,
that's,
shit.
That's a question, dumbass.
You're supposed to do this. Tell us where that's from.
I did do that. I said, where's that question? Where's that? Oh, never mind. All right, you nice. Killed it. Anyway, it is Little Giants. Very underrated movie. Mm-hmm. It's honestly, I don't think it was the play calling that was the issue. I think it was the turnovers that was the issue. I think it was the pressure. Ultimately, the offensive line did not play well enough. That's just, you know, that's the whole foundation of it.
Yeah.
Well, because of that, I don't think Carr didn't handle it very well. But it ultimately started with the offensive line. Carr didn't handle it very well. And because of that, he did make some very poor throws and some inopportune times in our territory with those three turnovers.
Well, that's why I'm asking about the play calling, because like the other thing was, all right, maybe they think that they can scheme around the O-line, right? Like, okay, we're offensive geniuses. We have all these weapons. We have a veteran quarterback. We can scheme around a bad offensive line. They didn't. It was just straight drop back pass plays. Five-step drop pass play. Like, that's your game plan with a terrible offensive line? Where was that awesome screen game we had in the preseason? How do you stop? The most basic Pop Warner coaches know this. What's the first and easiest, most basic way to stop a pass rush? Screens and draws. Right? You keep them honest. Don't let them pin their ears back. We didn't do any of it. We had like two play action plays, and they were both awesome shots to Waller. It just, for a guy supposed to be this like creative, and maybe he's like, all right, this O-line's so green, they can't handle the complexities or the movement of a screen game, or maybe it's something like that, but it's like, we saw it work awesome in the preseason. Did we run one screenplay?
Yeah, we did, and it was not good.
We ran
two screenplays. One was for Bolden that didn't go anywhere because Bolden got caught in the wash. The second one was a tight end screenplay that didn't go anywhere because Carr got hit. Like the tackle got pushed into Carr and he had nowhere to go with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult to run screens when you don't have time to throw the ball. You can't fool the defense when they're pinning back their ears and they're getting to your quarterback right away. Screen game's not going to work. They're going to get to you before you're able to throw the ball because you need some time to be able to kind of fake out. You know, let's say if it's a running back, he fakes blocking and then he leaks out. It takes time to do that.
It's the opposite.
We don't have it.
It's the opposite. When you're getting rushed, then defensive linemen are less likely to be fooled because they're used to beating you, right? Like if Bosa and Mac are beating our tackles every play, they're less likely to get fooled because they're like, oh, I beat this guy so easy because I've done that 10 times in a row. The guys get beat easy. That's when it works.
That's what I'm saying.
These guys are so used to
it. You have to slow them down at least a little bit. Yeah, and they weren't even doing that.
You chip and you go, right? Like, yeah. Obviously you can't have like a free reign, right? But like that's when it works the best is when defensive linemen are used to beating your O-line because then it doesn't feel weird. It's like, yeah, I beat this guy every play. This isn't, you know, I'm supposed to be getting here, right? And not even like rarely trying it, right? We said two plays and that was it. It's like, and then the play action game, right? Like the play action game, that's how you help too, right? That's a part of possibly helping pressure. And it was such a small part of it. And at least that was successful when they tried. So
you got to be able to run the ball. The second half, we were able to do a bit of play action. That's how we got the long pass to Waller. Mm-hmm. Rafael said, you know what? We played a terrible game and we still had a chance to win at the end. We had the ball with 3.5 minutes left. We had two timeouts. We had the two minute warning. So we had a chance to go down there and win the game. And you know what? We were able to do it a lot of times. Sometimes we're not, man. It's just the way it goes sometimes. Are you surprised by today's performance? I wouldn't say I'm surprised. I am disappointed. I knew that our offensive line wasn't going to be good or great, really.
It's a bottom five O-line.
It was terrible.
Bottom five O-line.
They were very bad.
And that's what we thought.
Yeah.
We thought going into
I didn't think they were
going
to be this bad. This
I thought we'd
really
be able to scheme
bad.
Around it. That's
yeah,
what I
exactly.
thought. I thought it'd be a bottom five. We
Dude,
would
to
scheme
around it.
We didn't.
To scheme around it, Carr had to play better to scheme around it. And it, on top of the fact that our offensive line was bad, Carr didn't handle the poor offensive line play very well. So it's a dual thing. It was all predicated on the offensive line not playing well. But again, to scheme around it, that means you have to play well in those situations. And Carr just didn't do that. Sam, chill, bro. Relax. No, relax. Look, just like Rafael said, we play a terrible game. We turned the ball over three times, two in our territory, and we only gave up 24 points to one of the best offenses in the league. And we had a chance to win the game late. We had the ball for plenty of time, timeouts, 2 minute warning. It just didn't go our way today, unfortunately. So we got to get back on it. We got to, you know, get ready for the Cardinals next week. How did they do
Chiefs
today?
Murked the Cards.
Oh God,
dude, Patrick Mahomes went. Oh, Patrick Mahomes got really Patrick Mahomesy, which is good for next week. Not good for the 2 weeks we play the Chiefs. We're talking about how much Aaron Rodgers misses Davante Adams. Ooh, in Kansas City, dude. they are not missing Tyreek.
30 for 39, 360, a 9.2 average. That is nuts. That is elite. Anything over 8.5 is fucking damn good. Five touchdowns, Jesus Christ. Let's see, receiving numbers. Wise. Yeah, Kelsey.
Yeah.
Kelsey killed it. Edwards Hilaire, a couple of short passes that he ran. Scantling, Juju had a couple. Yeah, you know, it's he mixed it up.
The card and the Cards don't have anywhere near the pass rush of the Chargers. So next week should be like, okay, let's see what this offense can do when you're not facing Mac and Bosa every play, right? Let's see what a normal pass rush means for this offense. If that is the silver lining for me a little bit, is like, all right, this is the best pass rush duo in football. The best.
Yeah.
Number one. Right? How can we and we went very poorly. Average pass rush? How are we going to do? Why not next week? The numbers. We have $20 million in cap. We're not using it if we can't win. We don't know that number right now because of Waller's new deal.
Practice squad.
And practice squad and a bunch of other things. So we don't know what that number is. And I don't know if it's the correct answer or if it's the right move. But the answer to this question is because Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels thinks that the tackles out there aren't going to be worth it. That's the answer to that question. Whether it's the right move or not, I can't tell you. But that's the answer, is that all the guys out there to this day are out there for a reason. There's like five teams who really like their right tackle. That's it. And let's not let Colt Miller off the hook. Like, he got beat too. Again, to two of the best. But he got beat too. I mean, this whole O-line, it got trashed.
It's a rough situation, man. Again, to scheme around bad offensive line play, it's baked into it that the quarterback has to play well. And when the quarterback doesn't play well off of poor offensive line play, you can't scheme around it. A scheme's not going to complete passes. Scheme's not going to move the pocket or throwing platform. The scheme is not going to leave the pocket when you need to. Bottom line, this is our offensive line. These are the guys. Carr has to play better for us to have a chance to be anywhere near the playoff contention. Do I feel he's going to play like this the entire year? No. I think that's going to be with some familiarity out there, like knowing what he's working with, maybe not facing the best pass rushing duo probably we've seen in the last 10 years in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that got to change on this. Yeah. Carr being a big, huge part of it. I think that, again, I'm not convinced the play calling did Carr any good. No draws, rarely any screens. The play action was barely there. Like, mix it up. There were so many just like five step drops.
How many times did we run the ball? Like less than 15 times, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Not a lot. Yeah. Not a lot of running the ball. In the second half, we started doing better, right? Like, it's like the play calling's an issue.
13 runs, bro. What the fuck is that? 13 out of what, 40, 50 plays?
And Carr and the rest of this offense is adjusting to, you know, another play caller, right? Like, I'm hoping these are things that get better, not worse with time. Fingers crossed.
Right? Yeah, look, it's the first game. A lot of teams out there, they start off their first quarter, and they're kind of figuring things out. They get better as the year goes along. The issue now, we know the main issues that we need to fix. The only thing we have to do now is focus on getting better and improving.
And in fairness to our defense, Justin Herbert's fucking legit.
I've been telling you guys, and everyone's like, oh, well, you know, how come he didn't make it to the playoffs? Dude, stop. Justin Herbert is a fucking gangster. That's just it. It is what it is. What are you going to do? He had the best rookie season out of any fucking rookie ever. He topped that off with an even better second year. And now he's in his third year, his second year in the same system. He's fucking good, man.
The only thing that saved us is the offense got conservative in the second half. That's the only thing that saved us. Yeah. We're like, all right, let's run the ball. Let's dink and dunk. You take the reins off of Herbert. then you turn into week 18 where he's converting like multiple, like 8 fourth and longs in a row, you know? If you're playing from behind, they take the reins off of Herbert, you're fucked. You're in the lead, and they're like, okay, let's run the ball, dink and dunk.
Yeah.
That's how we got let back in the game.
Yeah. If you get up on the Chargers, though, you got to keep scoring because that's when you take the blinders off and you just freaking open it up a little bit, and then Herbert starts winging the ball left and right, they're gonna score points. You know, I think –
and it doesn't help that we got no sacks, too, on Herbert. Like our
pressure's not going to work on Herbert, fucking Ruffle, fucking your boy Mahomes. Like those guys, you can't just pressure them, man, because they can move. They can throw all those weird off-angle throws. All three of those guys could throw like fucking shortstops, dude. They can flip it, sidearm, different angles, falling down. Like, and they can get the ball there. So it's about getting them on the ground, putting them on their ass.
Medina, is Mac washed? He had 3 sacks.
Washed, I think he's talking about when I said that he may not be the Mac. The last couple of years he hasn't been the Mac that we know of, and then he came out and had a good game. He's more washed than your nuts, Medina. How about that?
You know who might be washed? Demeek 5. Chandler Better Days are behind him. Wasn't a fan of bringing an older guy when he had young pass rusher who had 10 sacks and unique. Yeah, he was real quiet. We talked about it earlier. He had 2 tackles. That's it. Called his name with 1 good tackle at the line of scrimmage in like the 3rd or 4th quarter. That was it.
So I think we kind of figured one thing out.
Okay.
Our starters have to play in the preseason. This joint practice thing that's very controlled, it's just not enough, man. It's just not enough. And in this division specifically,
especially a brand new coaching staff, brand new system. Like if there's any time the preseason and you have a fourth preseason game to use, like you're getting a jump start on every other team.
I'm not trying to be like, I told you so, or a Monday morning quarterback or anything like that. But now we know that playing your guys a little bit in the preseason, probably not a bad idea.
Almost every team does it, right? It's crazy. Patrick Mahomes was playing in the preseason. Tom Brady was playing in the preseason. There's value there.
Brady played entire halves of preseasons in the past. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man.
All right, well, let's go a couple stars. Let's end on a high note. Nate Hobbs is a beast.
He's so damn good.
He looks like he's taken that standard issue rookie to second year jump. That if you're good your rookie year, you're great your second year. If you're bad your rookie year, you're like average your second year, right? He's taken that jump. Clutch stops, pass breakups, line of scrimmage tackles, disruption, coverage. He's everything. He's everything for us. We are going to pay him handsomely in 2 years.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is when you have a guy like that in your secondary, you can never have enough corners, ever. You can never have enough good corners out there. And Hobbs proved that he's, you know, he was like a top 5 guy. The by far the best out of all these first round can't miss corners that were taken last year. One on the other side with the Chargers, mm-hmm. Hobbs played better than all of them. Yep. And he came in there and he played today, especially he had a couple of third down plays. That was, it was tough, man. It was tough to squander that kind of performance against a quarterback like Herbert, and to end up on the losing end of the stick here. Sam, hey, relax, bro. Come on. We're okay. We're okay, Sam. I feel it. I feel you, bro. I feel you. And you know what? I think that, you know, there's a few things that can be fixed, and Carr needs to be fixed a little bit. A couple of things here. There's the offensive line issues that need to be fixed. Maybe some schematic things that need to be fixed as well. I think defensively we're okay. But I think we're all right, Sam. I think we're all right. I'm not tired of his face just yet.
So I'd never seen this before or like heard this depiction before, but I watched the first quarter of the game at my neighbor's house who's a Raiders fan, and he had a buddy there, and he kept calling Derek Carr Jesse Pinkman because he looks just like Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad. I've never thought of that before, but I guess I kind of see it. It never crossed my mind. It never crossed my mind, but yeah. Derek Carr looks like Jesse Pinkman. I can't believe after 9 years of him being my quarterback, it never like occurred to me. But there he is. There's Jesse. There's Derek.
Yeah, that's him. Well, look, Jesse Pinkman started off a piece of shit, and he ended up better.
And he ended up being a hero, right?
So now, hopefully.
That's a character arc. Same character arc.
That's what we need right now, for sure.
Again, Rock Yassine, not gaudy numbers, 6 tackles, but some clutch pass breakups.
Strong numbers, dude. Strong numbers. They look, it's a passing league. You can't fucking touch these guys down the field. If you're not getting burnt to a crisp, if you're like, okay, a guy caught a ball on me here and there, but I made a couple of plays, that's all you can ask for from your freaking secondary, man.
And from a corner, like, you don't want to hear his name too much, right?
Yeah.
Coming from a corner, it's like, you know. Defensive linemen, you want to hear their name all the time. Linebackers, you want to hear their name all the time. Free safeties, corners, slots, it's like, all right, they're doing their job, right? Like, hey, I just covered my guy so they didn't even throw my way. That's a good sign, right? That was a good acquisition. I'm glad, you know, that was one of the ones I was weird. Like, we got rid of Ngakoue, who's can get us a bunch of sacks every season for this dude who was kind of like a hot and cold starter for the Colts at corner.
Did you really? Say give that us a bunch of sex?
Like that hot and cold. What did I say?
He said he could give us a bunch of sex.
I think that was more you're hearing what you want to hear, Soto.
I don't know if I want sex from Yannick Ngakoue.
I don't know. He's like a tender lover, don't you think? Very tender.
I'm on a man with a slow hand.
What'd you make of Divine Diablo today?
I think he needs a lot of work on the run, dude. He got fucking swallowed up by that offensive line. Now I'm gonna get look. This is how you protect a quarterback. Do what the fucking Chargers did and draft the right guys. Mm-hmm. If we would have got the last time I'm gonna say it. This whole forever, Christian Darrisaw at the right side would have been so much better. But we got Leatherwood. Now we don't have shit. Now we got Illuminor's limey ass over there fucking around. Mm-hmm. But that offensive line went from a liability Herbert's rookie season to one of the best in the league now. And Divine Diablo, like what I said, he needs to be that slasher getting into the backfield. And he just got swallowed up. The guards swallowed him up. He got swallowed up by a tackle on a play on a long run. He needs to be able to play the run stronger. If not, Jaylen Brown's going to play a lot more.
Next week, we're at home. Cardinals come to town. Chiefs just kicked their dicks in today, which is a good sign. Nice bounce back, right? Like, maybe it doesn't really quite feel like the season started till you play your first home game. You know, like, all right, we're just kind of like washing off the sins of this Charger week one. Go back home, play the Cards. We won't be facing Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, right? May open up a little bit.
Yeah, this was honestly probably one of the worst matchups we could have had to open up the season, knowing what we kind of expected from our team. Poor offensive line play, maybe not the familiarity that Carr has with the first year system, stuff like that. Maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe him being a little bit unsure of where to go with the ball. Maybe that's why he felt a little jumpy. But guess what, bro? Put your fucking big girl pants on and let's move forward, because there's no more practice games. That's all count.
John Brooke, keep your head up. Keep the faith.
Yeah. This is our team, guys. We're not going to go back.
Baby. Everyone relaxed.
We're not going to go back and draft different guys. We got to go out there. Yeah, crossing the Jordan. We got to go back. We got to fix it. We got to move forward. That's it. Just like in the fight game. I had a guy get knocked out this last 2 weekends ago. You know what? I said, hey, man, I'm always proud of you. I'm never not going to be proud of you. We saw the things we needed to work on. We're going to go back. We're going to work on them. We're going to come back better. That's exactly what we do now.
We know where the line is, right? We know where the top of the game. The Chargers, talent-wise, by many accounts, right? Favorites to get the AFC championship. favorites for a lot of things, right? Undoubtedly a lot of talent there, right? And we were one last drive away from beating them, right? Despite shooting ourselves in the foot constantly and throwing the ball into the wrong hands constantly. Like, we weren't that far off. Barstow Walker, no head coaching consistency, can't win or even be a playoff contender when we change coaching staff like shoes. None of our opponents have this issue. Not all on Carr, Raider Nation for life.
No, it's not all on Carr. It isn't. Our offensive line. Thanks for the super chat, by the way. Appreciate it, Barstow Walker. It's not all on Carr, and I'm the biggest Carr critic out there.
But I think, haters.
Biggest no, Carr I'm not haters. A hater. I don't hate Carr.
Coming.
The it's coming.
Merch is coming.
The main thing that I want to say is this, guys. There's a trickle down effect of things that happen, and to overcome that, part of that chain has to break the trickle down effect. First part of the trickle down effect was the offensive line play, right? The next part of that chain was Derek Carr and how he handles the pressure. He handled the pressure. We wouldn't be talking about the offensive line play right now. We would be saying, oh, you know what? Carr stepped up. We did this with da 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 da. And we would be talking a different story right now. But because the offensive line play obviously did rattle Derek Carr, then we're going to talk about both of it. And I think it's things that we do need to talk about. We do need to address, like, hey, you know what? I don't think anybody could handle being sacked six times and win a game unless your name is fucking Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm. And that's it.
What else to say, dude? I mean, yeah, we knew what we had. We just didn't think it was going to be this bad, but we did play two rookies. Parham didn't play terrible.
I thought the safety valves for our problems would be stronger. I thought Carr would adjust to the line. I thought the play calling would adjust to the line. I thought our pass rush would give our DBs help. The things we were worried about, I think, are what we feared, but the surrounding elements that were supposed to help it didn't.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Except Devontae Adams. He blew my mind with how good he is. Like, I've known he's been a Raider for months. I knew he was going to play today. I watched him play all day. I still can't believe he's wearing silver and black.
Dude, he'd be so damn good.
He's so fucking good.
Guys,
how is he wide open? Oh, these DBs blew the coverage. No.
No. They didn't.
He's juked the shit out of them.
They were sound coverage until they got caught leaning one way or the other. And you know what that is called? That is called a setup. That is Devontae Adams knowing what coverage you're covering him in and him picking something that,
okay, he's doing the Muhammad Ali where he's like twirling his right hand, goes jab. Twirl the right hand, jab. Twirl the right hand, jab.
Dude, and then like the third or fourth one is like that right uppercut. Like, oh, yeah. You didn't see that one coming. Boom.
Whoop, boop. Yep.
You know, talking about the merch.
Yeah.
I'm kind of conflicted on which way to go. Do we go more conservative, autumn windbags stuff? Do we go a little bit more funny statement style shirts? Because we talked about the football hating pussy.
Just super offensive, probably get us canceled direction. These are all up in the air. These are all options.
What do you guys think about a football hating pussy shirt? Autumn windbag style. Let me know in the comments. What do you guys think? If you guys will buy one. I think we'll probably set one up. We'll figure it out. Goodell, you bitch ass.
All right. Well, while you guys figure that out, we'll be back with our regular show this week. And we'll get ready for the Cards. Home opener. Raiders, Legion Stadium. And I think we know exactly what we got to work on. And Devontae Adams, bless. Knock on wood if you're with me.